So, I go to the Wiz, and I ask him what he thinks about Value Now, a new online company I read about in Forbes, Rook explained. It was about to go public, and I liked the idea behind the company. Wiz said he'd check it out for me. I heard nothing. So I went back to him and said, "Hey, Wiz, what about Value Now?" And he said he thought it was a solid company and the stock would go through the roof.
"I did not say that,"
the Wiz inserted quickly. He was seated across the room by himself, his arms folded over the chair in front.
"Yes, you did."
"I did not."
Anyway, I go back to the club and tell them that Wiz is high on the deal, so we decide we want to buy some stock in Value Now. But little guys can't buy because the offering is closed. I go back to Wiz over there and I say, "Look, Wiz, you think you could pull some strings with your buddies on Wall Street and get us a few shares of Value Now?" And Wiz said he thought he could do that.
"That's a lie," said Wiz.
"Quiet,"
said Justice Spicer.
"You'll get your chance."
"He's lying,"
Wiz said, as if there was a rule against it. If Wiz had money, you'd never know it, at least not on the inside. His 8x12 cell was bare, except for stacks of financial publications. No stereo, fan, books, cigarettes. None of the usual assets acquired by almost everyone else. This only added to the legend. He was considered a miser, a weird little man who saved every penny and was no doubt stashing everything offshore. "Anyway," Rook continued, "we decided to gamble by taking a big position in Value Now. Our strategy was to liquidate our holdings and consolidate."
"Consolidate?"
asked Justice Beach. Rook sounded like a portfolio manager who handled billions.
"Right, consolidate. We borrowed all we could from friends and family and had close to $1,000.
$1,000?
Repeated Justice Spicer. Not bad for an inside job.
"Then what happened?"
"I told Wiz over there that we were ready to move. Could he get us the stock? This was on a Tuesday. The offering was on a Friday. Wiz said no problem. Said he had a buddy at Goldman Sachs, or some such place, that could take care of us."
"That's a lie,"
Wiz shot from across the room. "Anyway, on Wednesday, I saw Wiz in the East Yard, and I asked him about the stock. He said no problem."
"That's a lie."
"I got a witness."
"Who?" asked Justice Spicer.
"Picasso."
Picasso was sitting behind Rook, as were the other six members of the investment club. Picasso reluctantly waved his hand.
"Is that true?"
Spicer asked.
"Yep," Picasso answered. "Rook asked me about the stock. Wiz said he would get it. No problem."
Picasso testified in a lot of cases and had been caught lying more than most inmates.
"Continue,"
Spicer said.
"Anyway, Thursday I couldn't find Wiz anywhere. He was hiding from me."
"I was not."
"Friday, the stock goes public. It was offered at 20 a share, the price we could have bought it for if Mr. Wall Street over there had done what he promised. It opened at 60, spent most of the day at 80, then closed at 70. Our plans were to sell it as soon as possible. We could have bought 50 shares at 20, sold them at 80, and walked away from the deal with $3,000 in profits." Violence was very rare at Trumbull. $3,000 would not get you killed, but some bones might be broken. Wiz had been lucky so far. There'd been no ambush.
"And you think the Wiz owes you these lost profits?"
asked ex-Chief Justice Finn Yarber, now plucking his eyebrows.
"Damn right we do. Look, what makes the deal stink even worse is that Wiz bought Value Now for himself."
"That's a damn lie,"
Wiz said.
"Language, please," Justice Beach said.
If you wanted to lose a case before the brethren, just offend Beach with your language. The rumors that Wiz had bought the stock for himself had been started by Rook and his gang. There was no proof of it, but the story had proved irresistible and had been repeated by most inmates so often that it was now established as fact. It fits so nicely.
"Is that all?"
Spicer asked Rook. Rook had other points he wanted to elaborate on, but the brethren had no patience with windy litigants, especially ex-lawyers still reliving their glory days. There were at least 5 of them at Trumbull, and they seemed to be on the docket all the time.
I guess so, Rook said. What do you have to say?
Spicer asked the Wiz. Wiz stood and took a few steps toward their table. He glared at his accusers, Rook and his gang of losers. Then he addressed the court.
What's the burden of proof here?
Justice Spicer immediately lowered his eyes and waited for help. As a justice of the peace, he'd had no legal training. He'd never finished high school, then worked for 20 years in his father's country store. That's where the votes came from. Spicer relied on common sense, which was often at odds with the law. Any questions dealing with legal theory would be handled by his 2 colleagues.
It's whatever we say it is,
Justice Beach said, relishing a debate with a stockbroker on the court's rules of procedure.
Clear and convincing proof? Asked the Wiz.
Could be, but not in this case.
Beyond a reasonable doubt?
Probably not.
Preponderance of the evidence.
Now you're getting close.
Then they have no proof,
the Wiz said, waving his hands like a bad actor in a bad TV drama.
Why don't you just tell us your side of the story? Said Beach.
I'd love to. Value Now was a typical online offering. Lots of hype, lots of red ink on the books. Sure, Rook came to me, but by the time I could make my calls, the offering was closed. I called a friend who told me you couldn't get near the stock. Even the big boys were shut out.